Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with JL Covan. I'm JL Covan here, as always, with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, JL. Hi, everybody. How you doing? What's going on?
It's a great day. It is a great day. I'm wearing a new shirt. Not a new shirt, but a new shirt for the show, which means we've gotten through August. 8 months without a repeat shirt.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think that's pretty good. You know, that's what I do, Mike. There is a... You delete one episode of my podcast because I wore the same shirt too many times.
Yeah.
I then spite myself for an entire year digging through my closet to find
spite?
New. Because these shirts are getting like a little too close to the nips. I'm in bad shape right now. I don't, you know, I walk out in public. Like I used to be a tower of power and now I'm like Grimace.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of sloping shoulders because sure. I can't build muscle on them anymore since shoulder surgery. Just kind of gut and broken hips, bum knees, looking for McDonald's everywhere. So I wanted to talk briefly about, first of all, interesting thing for people who don't know where the studio is or anything like that. I've noticed we're one stop away from the last stop where all the hot women get off.
Yeah.
You don't have to give it up. But your previous studio was at the peak of hotness.
Yeah.
And then there's this one more like last exit before Garbage Town. And the rest of the hot women get off at the stop right before this one. And then it's podcasters, get off. But I went to Dunkin' Donuts before this because what I like to do is I eat healthy for the first two meals of the day. I pack a couple Larabars, sponsorship opportunity, which are like healthy. And I eat one on the train and I convince myself that that's going to hold me till a healthy dinner. And then I get out of the train and there's a Dunkin' Donuts right there. So I walked into the Dunkin' Donuts today and I was just going to get one donut. And instead I opted for two and the woman gave me three. And she looked at me and she didn't put the right donuts in the bag.
Uh-oh.
And I think she thought I was complaining about getting an extra donut. And I was like, no, I just like the right. Okay. And I just took them and ate all three. But I want to credit that woman at the Dunkin' Donuts because this could be a new form of like food therapy, like to curb your hunger. This woman is the most miserable, not going to say the word that keeps ending us from getting ad money on YouTube.
Yeah.
She's a real see you next Thursday if I can brand for the show. And I don't think I'm going to go to that Dunkin' Donuts anymore because she's that miserable. She's saved me from one of my favorite foods on earth. So thank you, miserable Dunkin' Donuts lady. I sometimes look and I go, do I remind you of like a warlord in your former country or something? Do I give, you know, I could look like some sort of Middle Eastern butcher, the butcher of Baghdad or
definitely,
like, you know, the asshole of Ahmadinejad or whatever. I don't know. So maybe that's what she really looks at me like she's seen a ghost.
Yeah.
So maybe I should be thankful that she's giving me donuts and not ordering a fatwa on me anyway. And that's wrong because she's clearly Indian, not Middle Eastern. She thinks I'm from a lower caste. There you go.
Doesn't have the same punch.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And then I yelled at her, "You're an untouchable," to really speak her language. And that's when, you know, her brother came out and declared a feud with me. Anyway, donuts, people. I'm off. I'm done with donuts. Okay. Thank you, lady at Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I got one thing I want to discuss with you before we get to our main topic today, which people know from the title now. But I got a bunch of shows coming up, people. Okay. St. Paul, Minnesota, September 13th and 14th. Rutherford, New Jersey, big show for New Jersey. It's the first and last Trump show I'll be doing in my new home state. October 11th, Triad Theater in New York City and Chicago. Trump show and stand-up show, back-to-back nights, October 17th and 18th. And then Hartford, Connecticut, November 2nd. Princeton, New Jersey, November 8th and 9th. And then Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, December 13th and 14th, which I feel like is the best place for me to end it all. It's like a motel connected to a bar.
Yeah.
It's
oh boy.
Yeah. It's
when I do those.
When I first did that gig, I kid you not, when I saw two men trying to check into this hotel and I guess the like $59 a night fee was too steep for them.
Yeah.
When I tell you these two looked like they had been rejected from January 6th for being too scary.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got from them. Like if Wayne Grow had two younger brothers who were real pieces of shit in Heat. So, yeah, those are all the gigs coming up. Obviously, there's a lot of ways Michael do the housekeeping. But yeah, we've gotten some nice reviews for the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Keep doing that. Next week, I'll have a good announcement about Half Blackface, the album. But as for now, no new reviews, Mike, on the Amazon Prime special. Now, I'm asking everybody right now. Please watch it. I know I've said don't review it if you haven't watched it, and I stand by that. But it is, you know, it is my finest work, and I assume you like the things that come out of my mouth because you listen and watch various things I do. So please, over Labor Day weekend, you know, appreciate my labor. Watch it and give it a nice review, please. And that's all my announcements, but I wanted to get those up front because I'm sure people tune out at the end. Now, Mike.
Yes.
I know you are a big time fan of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And
by default.
Yeah. I want to say I loved the convention.
Really?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Because I thought it was such a you know, the party of Trump is now it's a service of one person. Mm-hmm. It's like his bar mitzvah or birthday party. It's not a political party. It's Donald Trump's sweet 16 every day in the Republican Party. Whereas the Democratic Party, whether you think they're full of it has a lot of range and a lot of intellectual and political talent. Like the Republicans have shunned their former leaders and people who are reasonable and sort of talented. It's all either dummies who are in service of Trump or smart people who are sacrificing their principles to access power through Trump. So watching it, I felt this is the party like what America really needs is, and this would probably satisfy you and your radical left co-host. If the Democratic Party were American politics, that would be what would make sense. Sure. In other words, because say what you want about, and I think you may have said this on Mike Coscarelli Rules, maybe, maybe not, but say what you want about Democrats. They're all trying to do something.
Yeah.
Like they're all trying to move forward in their own way. Republicans aren't trying to do anything except get power and hoard it, you know, and that's it. So to me, that's if the Democratic Party were America, you could be like, oh, well, I'm with the Bernie Sanders wing. Oh, I'm with the Joe Biden wing. And we're going to find a place in between, which is obviously going to be a lot more in between than when you have to come to a consensus amidst all those warring Democratic parties, which they still do.
Yeah.
And then one group, which is like, okay, when you guys are done governing and coming up with shit, no. You know what I mean? Like that's America right now in terms of politics. But the convention, and I think it was the energy. I think it was the way it was produced. I think that that bounce from just having somebody, as much as I like Joe Biden, I don't think I said it on this show. I think I just thought it. But this is what happens, folks, when you're a comedian and you spend most of your time alone.
Yeah.
Like, did I talk to a human being about this, or was I just sitting in myself, like Smeagol, just talking to myself, going, the joke, the joke. So Joe Biden, I was an enthusiastic Biden guy.
Yeah.
As enthusiastic, but I said Joe Biden's re-election was like me going to a friend's wedding. Good times. I'm good. Yes, I'll be there. Kamala Harris's nomination felt like I'm fucking a bridesmaid at Joe Biden's wedding. A lot more fun. I'm more into this. I was happy either way, but this is more fun. No shade to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But I can't even deny that I just felt happier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it was contagious seeing that a lot more cynical and bitter people were also a little more enthusiastic, boosted my enthusiasm. So I came up with a list of my five favorite things in my lifetime as a Democrat. Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to
share because part of that convention made the list.
Yeah.
I know you're probably thinking
that convention.
This convention that just passed.
Wow.
So number five is an oldie but goodie. I was just old enough to kind of recognize this. Michael Dukakis was the nominee, 1988, governor of Massachusetts, like a straight Pete Buttigieg. And his vice president was Lloyd Bentsen.
This is amazing that you have these vivid memories of the DNC.
No, this is a debate. These are my favorite moments, like Democratic moments, not DNC moments.
Yeah.
And Lloyd Bentsen ethered Dan Quayle. Now, it didn't do anything for the election, but he did the famous thing where Dan Quayle was a young, up-and-coming politician from Indiana, and he compared himself to JFK. Hmm. And Lloyd Bentsen said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I knew John F. I knew Jack Kennedy. I worked with Jack Kennedy. You, sir, are no Jack Kennedy. And that was like a bomb.
That's the first time that was said, right? That's where that expression came from.
Yes.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, like now that seems tame with Trump going, because you'd be in jail, you know, but in a civilized time in America, that was like, somebody just dropped a bomb on stage. So that's five.
Yeah.
Okay, five. Number four, Hillary Clinton gets the nomination in 2016.
Okay.
You know, that was a bigger moment for my mother, but I was very happy because I thought maybe my comedy career is not evidence of this, but it's good to see that somebody who's worked hard and has qualifications gets something they're striving for. Mm-hmm. And it was history, whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, it was history. And I was very excited for that because I thought she was going to become president, but I did do a track on an album about that saying before the election, I said, but it'll be kind of suck for our male winning streak to end, you know, 44-0 sounds cool. 44-1 is like, do we even have a country? So that's number four. Number three, maybe lower than you'd expect. Obama wins in 2008. It's my number three. U2 playing. I know you're a big fan of U2. City of Blinding Lights off of their Grammy-winning album. Dun, 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 dun. Audi comes in Grant Park with his family. Amazing. Amazing American moment. I think everybody except racists can agree that was all 70. How many votes did Trump get? 74 million? Other than the 74 million bigots, racists, and idiots who voted for Trump in 2020, I think we can all agree, a beautiful moment, not just for me as a biracial lawyer, you know,
yeah.
By the way, black immigrant father, white Irish mother, lawyer, funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they could write a book about us. Like, you know, this is like I'm the multiverse Barack Obama that eats too unhealthily and tries to make it in comedy.
Yeah.
So that's my number three. It might be lower than you expect, but that's number three. Number two. Joe Biden wins in 2020. And that, of course, was as much about more about Donald Trump vanquished, so we thought. But that was huge.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got blown out in the popular vote, like just obliterated by 7 million. And my number one moment in my life of Democratic moments in politics, Lil Jon announcing Georgia at the convention. I am still fired up about it, and I'm so mad I missed it live. I was doing Making Podcasts Great Again, and as you can imagine, me and Jay were both distraught over missing the political goings-on. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. I had to pull him away from CNN to do the podcast. So when I got back out, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, there were like six states left.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that on replay, I have watched that at least 20 times because to me, what was so awesome about it versus the Republicans, it felt much more authentic to both the constituency and the energy. Like Kid Rock performing for a bunch of people who only like Kid Rock because he supports Trump, that's not good.
Right.
Like, and I'm not here to, like, I know it's easy to bash Kid Rock. I love American Badass.
I saw Kid Rock live once. He was great.
I did too.
Great.
I saw him in 2000 with Korn and Metallica.
Yeah.
That's who I was in college. And yeah, I'm not here to be like Kid Rock sucks. No, but Kid Rock, it was like he was doing a corporate gig.
Yeah.
That's not the end. Like, whereas Lil Jon, as crazy as it is, and a buddy of mine who just does nothing but shit on the Democrats and do false equivalencies.
Yeah.
Was like, oh yeah, Lil Jon changed my mind. I was like, don't hate. That was awesome. I know Republicans wish they could have something that awesome, but it was awesome not just because it was like he gave it 100%. The crowd was into it. DJ Cassidy, who I went to high school with, was turning tables. He was a sophomore when I was a senior.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That goes into my joke about DJing. It used to be for hardworking, innovative urban youth. Then somewhere in the 40 years since, it became something for rich guys to have MacBooks and tour the world making $40 million a gig.
Yeah.
David Guetta, can I do this instead of Run DMC? Let's make it on MacBook Pro's most expensive computer so that poor people can become DJs. Give me my $20 million Wynn Hotel. And I press my button.
David Guetta sounds a lot like Henrik Lundqvist.
No, Mike, Henrik Lundqvist is more like this. Like I'm trying to seduce the viewer about hockey. You know, but David Guetta, you know, shout out to his family. The moment of 2020 when we were all healed from George Floyd's death. shout out to his family. So I just thought it was like, it worked. Like I actually thought it worked. It wasn't just like, oh God, look at this is so square. Yeah. And I loved it. And yes, more. That's why I'm supporting Lil Jon on the ticket in 2028. Because nobody's gotten me that. Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and Lloyd Benson from Old Folks. None of them got me as hype as Lil Jon. Yeah! He gave an extra long yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Turn out for what? But it didn't seem cheesy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know you. When I listen to the next Mike Coscarelli Rules, the podcast episode will be, how effing cheesy was Lil Jon?
No.
Okay, but yeah, so politics lead in. This episode, as you can probably tell from the title, is going to be about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Not the creep so much that he is and the grifter.
Yeah.
Although we'll talk about that, but boundaries in comedy, because I seem to have gotten an ethical lesson on TikTok from, wait for it, Trump supporters that I had gone too far. So we're going to discuss those moronic pieces of shit after the break. And we're back, everybody. Mike, do I even need to ask, how was that break?
Fantastic as always, as you should already know.
I do. It was good for me too. Rarely is it, but it was good for me too this time.
You seem pumped for that.
Yeah. But we got to talk about Robert F. Kennedy. What I just did, folks, is ableist and disgusting, but also accurate.
Mm.
Now, background for all my fans who don't watch my videos. I did a video the morning of Donald Trump when they were saying he was going to RFK Jr. was going to jump out, get out of the race.
Yeah.
And endorse Trump. So I said, well, let me get on that real quick. I like to do that sometimes when I have an inkling of what's happening. I just do the video ahead of time. Trump is predictable like that. So I tried out an RFK Jr. impression for the first time. And it was gold on the very first try. So I said, boom, nailed it. Moving on. And I had a conversation in the video with Trump bringing out RFK as this huge endorsement and saying that he was going to look into the people who made the movie JFK because his uncle was killed on the set. That was a joke. Like he didn't get the difference between movie and real life. And then I brought RFK in the video and then I did my thank you so much, Mr. Donald Trump, because what the Democrats are doing is terrible.
It's pretty good, man.
Yeah. Because a lot of people go for something else, but I go for the life getting choked out of me.
Yeah.
That's how you get a more accurate. It's not perfect, but it was a better take. My first take is still the best take. So I did a back and forth. And the whole point of the video was like, yes, I do an impression of RFK Jr., but the real point of it was Donald Trump learning that's how he talks and trying to like get him to not endorse him or give him a silent endorsement. The video became my first one to hit over 350,000 views on Twitter since like 2021. So doing great. And I said, well, I'm a whore. So why don't I just isolate the RFK Jr. audio and put that up as its own 20-second TikTok?
Yeah.
So I put it up on TikTok and I obviously think about that. And I got a couple of the progressive fans who say, I love your work. I expected this. I love your work. But I think this is some are harsher than others. I responded nicely to the people who were respectful. But I was like, you know, like, hey, this is, you know, make fun of him for his policies, make fun of him for this. But I don't think you have to go there. And my response was, I don't have to do any of this. That's what I mean. I was like, but I did. And the thing about it is, my comedy boundaries are sort of, I'm not the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court, when they take a case, it's got to apply to everybody. So often what's known as a test case will be like the worst case, because then it'll be easy to apply it to everybody. You don't bring the easiest case, because then there can still be distinctions with worse cases. You bring the guy for his Fourth Amendment search and seizure rights, the guy who murdered and abused three children.
Yeah.
You bring that case because then if the police violated his rights, it's very easy to apply it to all criminals. That's the point of like a test case. Now, I am not the Supreme Court. So when somebody is a bigger piece of shit than others, I might attack them more as a comedian. Now, people comparing what I did to mocking Tim Walz on the Spectrum teenage son, not the same.
Yeah.
Like Donald Trump, we'll get to him in a second, mocking a disabled reporter just for writing a story he didn't like, not what I did. I am making a choice that this person is aligned with bad values, bad actors. So you know what? A below the belt punch once in a while is okay in my book. That's my ethics in comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be, hey, I don't go after anybody who doesn't. No, I make the rules and I am ethically consistent. Now, when I posted this to TikTok, it got, like I explained to you before the show, oh, yeah, okay, after a couple hours, 1,000 views. Nice. All right. Doing okay. And then last night I tuned in and it was at like 20,000 views and it was building fast. But the tell was 500 something likes, 957 comments, and they were not good job, bro. It was grandmothers. It was grandmothers stitching me. Like, how the fuck they learned how to do that? Yeah, good for them.
Everybody's good at stuff now.
Calling me an awful human being.
Yeah.
People saying karma's going to come for you. You're going to get yours. Now, when I started seeing the you're going to get yours, I'm casting a pretty wide net. But all you have to do with MAGA is catch one or two psychopaths. And so what I did was I deleted it, not because I don't stand by the work, but because I was just bothered by the tenor of the people commenting. The first thing I thought, though, is like, maybe I should leave this up because it might go viral. Hey, there's no such thing as bad viral. I mean, unless it's like, you know, I said a slur.
Yeah.
But like, we had a whole episode dedicated to that. So come for me, cancel culture. But it's the idea of like a comedy bit that I stand behind. I'm not afraid of that. I'm just, the wider the net goes for crazy MAGA people, the more likely you catch a real bad apple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I sort of deleted it for that reason. But I found it first ironic, Mike, that Donald Trump supporters had decided this Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a rich person who is a creep, a grifter, and possibly a sexual assaulter. He didn't want to discuss that during his interview. And who's very anti-vaccine and, you know, he's done some nice work in his life, but he seems to be, you know, a testosterone injected conspiracy creep. Now, if you have an absolute rule that, no, you can't go after anything that a person can't help. Okay. That's how you can do comedy. I can lower the bar if you're a piece of shit. So when I made fun of Mitch McConnell freezing, not too many people in my mentions going, hey, now, he can't help that. This is beneath you, JL. No, they're like, when I didn't freeze in a Mitch McConnell video, because I have jokes I want to get out, they'd go, all you're missing, dude, is the freeze. They're like, make fun of his strokes, man. Fuck him. Do the stroke thing. Come on, he's going to die. Do Mitch McConnell dying, bro. And but RFK Jr. now is in the Trump fold. The biggest collection of hypocrites on God's green earth.
Yeah.
The MAGA movement. Oh, he's now been knighted by queen of selfishness, Donald Trump. He's now Sir Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the court of assholes. So the first thing was that Trump people are coming for me. They're coming for me because I've gone below the belt. Their whole movement is below the feet. Like they are disgusting. So I found that funny. But then I got some moderates telling me this is beneath me and like cut out that. Some guy this morning on YouTube was like, love your comedy. You're way too good a comedian. Delete this and stop the sophomoric bullshit. And I was like, first of all, dad,
yeah,
don't need the advice. And I say to people, I go, I'm consistent. I have a consistency to my work. It's just not the line that you have. And this is something that I've been thinking about, like ethics and comedy, because this comes up a lot, like these lines that people want to draw. And obviously people making fun of Tim Walz's son during the DNC, like that to me is something I wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, no offense to him. If you look at him, you know, there's like some sort of, there's some spectrumness.
Sure.
No, I know. no. So like you just, maybe that's my experience, but anybody who doesn't see that doesn't get out enough or isn't like exposed to enough different people to not know. So all the conservatives who seized on that to like mock him, to me, that's below the belt.
Sure.
But to compare what I did, I think is very strange, because what I did was, oh, I didn't make fun of Robert F. Kennedy, but joining MAGA is the line. You've crossed the line. Now you're fair game. That's why I did a whole bit on my 2023 special about 17-year-old Barron Trump. Because I said, it's done. We can all, and that was the joke. The joke was like, I'm not saying anything about him now. These are all hypotheticals. But we all know what's going to happen, right? Does anybody think this kid's going to be a good kid? I mean, what kind of miracles do you think are in store for Barron Trump?
Yeah.
I said, have you seen the damage a 6'3" Trump can do? What do you think a 9-foot Trump is going to do? Be humble? Be caring? His mother's a prostitute. It's like, and she's the good parent.
Yeah.
The gold digging genius grant visa sex worker, we'll use the right terms. That's sure. Being respectful. Melania Trump. That's the hope. Because Donald Trump is certainly not going to have a part. We've seen the kids he had a little bit to do with are all garbage. So that's why I went after Barron Trump, but only in like a hypothetical, tangential way to reflect how bad the parents are. Not to say he's bad on his own, but as a vehicle to say how bad. But you could argue that that was plenty of people. My own mother said to me, I really liked it, except I would have left the kid alone. And I said, tell that to the women in his college dorm 2 years from now.
I mean, we're getting into like Minority Report territory here.
Well, yeah, but. And they hate minorities. So it'd be funny to call it that. They'd be like, where? No, of course. No. And I think, and I hope that Barron Trump ends up being a good guy. Yes, you should be laughing at that. No chance. No, in the same way these Republicans will decry the ghetto and these babies having babies and there's no hope. Yeah, well, same thing with Trumps. There's no hope. So I can write him off. And now he's 18, so he's completely fair game. No need for hypotheticals. But I just found it interesting, these line drawings in comedy. And I'm sorry that this is veered into a comedy talk. But
doesn't it always?
Kind of. But I'm curious. This should get a lot of comments because I'd be curious where people think the line is. But my whole defense is I'm consistent. I have my ethics and I don't violate them. But I might violate yours. And that's okay. Like, if you don't like it, I'm not going to make you like it. But don't try to make me like live by your standards. I didn't get to this place in comedy, a loft in Brooklyn in the middle of nowhere, by playing by your rules. Okay. So, and there's a lot of, I mean, there's just, and where are the lines? Where are the, how many times do we have to, it's a party line that Joe Biden is riddled with dementia and an awful, like, you know, I just being lectured by the right, I can take it by the left because sometimes it's coming from fans, but being lectured, having 1,000 comments from the right, it makes me think, okay, I've always thought comedy is a good, you know, the comedy business is sort of a good model for what's happening to like the American economy. We're all becoming gig workers. It's all becoming pretty bad except for those at the top. Mm. In terms of, I mean, not bad, but you know what I mean. And still got to defend the democratic economy. But
at all costs.
This idea of making fun, like, where's the line for, like, making fun of Biden, like, Fox News, this whole thing. Like, a news organization is, like, dedicated to, you know, we had Chelsea Clinton is ugly. This is the party of Chelsea Clinton's an ugly, ugly person. We're going to mock her.
I do remember that.
This is the party that created QAnon.
Yeah, that's the Chelsea Clinton is ugly thing really was a thing, wasn't it?
I mean, facts, but still. No, but that was, I mean, that, and this will sound weird, Bill Clinton was not letting anything stop his ambition. But I feel like having a teenager going through puberty on the world stage would be enough to go, let's run in 96.
What?
Let's run in 96.
Oh,
you know,
I thought you meant a 96, like it was something I was supposed to know.
Oh, no. Let's run a 96 instead of 92. Chelsea will be like a high school senior. Some of the awkwardness will be done. But I don't know if you have anything you want to contribute to this, but it's just to me, it's very frustrating because I feel like one side has no sense of humor if it's about them and wants everything to be a joke if it's not about them. And then my side wants to bend over backwards to not be bad. Like, even in the comedy space, like, no, don't go there, JL.
I think maybe you're getting some of that from fans. I do think there is an element of the left on social media that is kind of, I think I've even said on here, like believing that you have the moral high ground sometimes is a bit of a house of mirrors. You know,
this is the second Quint reference I'm going to make on the show. I never got my Jaws clip, which was a great clip. People told me that it was a great bit. But I feel like I'm Quint on the left.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you got to let me be me. Yeah. Let me attack them.
Yeah.
Don't restrain me for some fake moral code that doesn't exist. And I'm a guy of integrity. Like I said, I'm not violating my own moral code, but this like, Scouts honor, Knights of the Round Table chivalry that some people on the left try to do with comedy. It's over. That day is gone. And let me unleash the hound.
Yeah.
And like, in other words, and I want to make a comparison. I'm a name names, Mike. I'm not a coward like some people in this room. I thought that was going to get a laugh.
No.
Did it come off as too aggressive? Like, I meant that as like a joke. Anyway. What also, the flip side of this is not just the choice to mock RFK a little bit. It's the fact that I could do it.
Right.
The fact that I could do it. Now, our mutual friend, impersonator Matt Friend.
Guy we love.
Who never seemed to have seen an impression he wasn't going to attempt and then claim to be crushing it.
Yeah.
He did an RFK Trump thing after me. Neither one was good.
Yeah.
But his Kennedy, his RFK, was more Jimmy Stewart than RFK. It was
I
like,
can see that.
I'm Robert Kennedy. I'm voting for Donald Trump and vaccines. I'll grab the moon. I'll lasso it for you. Like, and I was like, I hope people are in his mentions. You know, I know he's the GOAT. Okay. And hosting, you know, I think he's hosting your birthday party Friday. He's hosting everything. But to me, that's mean for mean's sake, or if that's how you're judging it. I'm not judging it on the his choice to do it.
Yeah.
I'm judging the quality of it. But if you don't do a good one, then what is the justification for doing it?
Yeah.
Whereas hate me if you must, but it was good. And that is another component of this where it's like, yeah, if I can do a good impression, like a really good one, I don't care as much if the person has like, because the show off thing is look at me. That's what impressions are. It's like, look at me do this thing.
Yeah.
And people mostly loved it. But once it got into the right wing ecosphere, they were having fun. You say the left, and I don't disagree, has a kind of snooty, like, we're the arbiters of morality, and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be better than them, even if we lose all the time. We're better. The more we lose, the better we are, actually. It proves how better we are. And this is why Bill Clinton, people can hate him, but he won. Democrats hadn't been winning.
Yeah.
He won. Like that's, and now we want to go back Colonel Nathan R. Jessup style, might be on the top 20 performances of all time. Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men. What does he say? You live under the very blanket of security I provide and then question the manner in which I provide it. That's what winning is. You don't always get to win Obama 2008 style.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great when it happens. And then a year later, half the country is like, I hate this N-word. So that's what that got us. We got like a 6-month buzz of righteousness. But to me, the odd thing of these people being in my mentions, and I think the fact that it was accurate probably bothered them more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. I like that it was good enough for them to be like, you're despicable. If it was bad, they would have been like, bro, try again. But instead, I got in their feelings. I drink MAGA tears. That's what you need. I'm the quint of left-wing comedy. Yeah, sure, the shark might eat me at the end of the movie, but we're going to fucking get the shark. Okay? You can all be Roy Scheider's wife, okay, and his kids safe on the fucking beach. I'm out there in my little boat saying, bring it on, MAGA jaws. I think the theme song for the show, if we can get the rights, Puff Daddy's probably selling things cheap these days. Hate Me Now with Nas.
Oh yeah,
right,
you can get that for a bargain.
I think Puffy's, it's probably bargain basement. Yeah. Right now, as far as that, let's look into that, see how much Hate Me Now as a theme song for our show would cost. So, yeah, I don't know. This was more of a rant. I thank you, Mike, for allowing me the space.
I figured you had some stuff to say.
Yeah, well, the three donuts don't hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to crash on the train home, like vomiting on New Jersey Transit. But I had a good podcast. The quint of comedy, which is so close to See You Next Thursday of comedy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is. But yeah, this is more of a rant, but I think the comments should be robust for this episode because I am interested in your opinion if you're a fan of mine, but I hope I've made my stance sort of clear that I just want the freedom. And I know this sounds a little self-aggrandizing, but this has been the quandary of my comedy career the last several years. I want to be able to have my left leanings while performing comedy like a right-wing scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. Full, and like I said, not full, obviously, you know me, not full, but I want, it's this like, hey, don't do that. Like I remember the first time I encountered this was in 2020. I wrote, it was my first Biden joke after getting all these followers for Trump. And I said, hey, do you think Hunter Biden ever says to his dad, I get it, Bo was your favorite. Unfollow, you're disgusting. People who are fans of mine, who a month earlier couldn't stop laughing and sharing my bit about Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump molesting and raping girls. couldn't share that enough, but oh, Biden, don't go there.
Yeah.
And now this righteousness of, and maybe it's the confidence that comes from maybe we're going to win, of like, we have to take the high ground. I go, no, I take the high ground in life.
Yeah.
I try to take the high ground in life. My comedy doesn't always have to take the high ground. Just like in a broader sense, like don't punch down. Why? Sometimes it's funny. You know, sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes it's not trying to demean a people.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a hurt. Like sometimes it's just kind of funny. And as I've always said,
you're a man with no home, JL.
Yeah,
you really are.
I am 6'7" and a genius. I punch down on everybody when I speak. So yeah, this was fun. This, I feel like I really got something off of
my chest. Yeah,
because this has been bothering me, and it came to a head last night when I was just sitting there, and Laura was not able to interpret the turmoil I was in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she starts telling a story, and I'm just kind of fading out. And I'm like, you just got to give me a minute. I got to decide if I'm going to delete this thing or not. And I did delete it, not because I thought I was wrong, but because I didn't want to cast a wider right-wing net of nut jobs. But that's where we are. The right, just like they got to be the party of patriotism and faith, even though they're run by a traitorous man of no faith, somehow they got to be just like, we get to do whatever we want with comedy because we're not PC. We're not woke. Well, guess what, right-wingers? I'm not woke. You just got a fucking taste of it. And there's more coming for you. But this is now a WWE promo. The comic. Listen up, MAGA. I got jokes. And I don't care about your feelings. With my morning coffee, I used to put MCT oil in it, brother. Now I put MAGA tears. And I'm so real. I'll punch a liberal in the nuts just to watch them cry, too. I'm the comic. So... I'm excited for what the future holds for my comedy career.
Yeah.
Just
ending and all.
Maybe I need to just go. I will be doing comedy one day on like an island. Like Nicolas Cage will let me like stay on the island he owns, and that's where I'll perform comedy.
That's the dream, isn't it? A steady gig.
Oh man, Nicolas Cage, call me. But yeah, comment, share, spread the gospel to your favorite MAGA person. But that's my thought. I don't apologize. I'm not one of these, I don't apologize.
Yeah, let's go get the caution tape.
Right. I apologize. I have apologized. I've apologized. I told you about a podcast I once did on Making Podcasts Great Again, where I was talking about a disabled actress who was attractive. And I made, as Trump, I was making jokes about what a shame, because she was so hot, that she's in a wheel. And then at the end of that episode, even though I was in character, I said, guys, I've had 20 minutes to reflect on that. I don't feel that great about it. It is, I think it's kind of funny because it's in character. So I'm not above feeling bad or apologizing or deleting something that was interpreted the wrong way or was in hindsight bad or mean or too mean or not what I intended. But not this. And not for these people. They can get two barrels. This is getting us. They can get both barrels of comedy. They don't get
this
to be.
What was that?
This is when YouTube goes. He mentioned gun violence.
Oh, got it. I couldn't figure out what you meant.
But this is like what I'm sort of fighting against. I know I'm not a crusader, but what I don't like is they MAGA feelings count to MAGA people.
Mm-hmm.
No one else's feelings count to them. And in fact, if your feelings are hurt, you're woke, you're PC, you got to get over it, it's comedy. And I think in some way, I think we're in a dangerous position, and I hope I'm not in literal danger, but when people are
same, because I'm sitting next to you.
When people are this delusional and hypocritical,
yeah,
they're capable of all sorts of fucked up thoughts. You know, like how can a normal person support Donald Trump and come after me for a 20-second accurate RFK Jr. impression? Unless there's a cognitive dissonance with these people where they're like, well, when we do it, it's okay.
Yeah.
Trump loves us. He's a patriot. Not supporting Trump means you're outside. I guarantee you, if RFK Jr. dropped out of the race and endorsed Kamala Harris, how many right-wing, Gutfeld adjacent geniuses would have been rocking their RFK Jr. impressions? Is it more or less than 1,000?
I bet it would be a lot.
Yes. All of a sudden, he'd be outside the circle of trust.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to take to my fans. I can have a respectful discourse with you if you're respectful to me, calling my stuff bullshit is mm-hmm. not going to get the best response out of me. But we can have a respectful comment because I think we're on the right side, and you don't have to. This is what I always say. You don't have to like my comedy or like every bit I do. But I am telling you, it's gone through a 20-year comedy filter and a 45-year ethical filter that I'm okay with. If I put it out there, I'm okay with it. But on the right, it's a disaster. So that's it, everybody. We're going to come back with some comedy talk. Wait, Mike, didn't we just do a bunch of comedy talk?
You know me, I can't get enough.
I mean fun comedy talk, not WWE promo comedy talk.
Oh my God,
talk.
It's comedy.
It's the comedian. We get the Helms Deep or the dun dun dun. It would take thousands of comedians, tens of thousands, but there is no such group of comedians, and just 10,000 JLs outside. Vroom, 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 vroom. We'll be back with comedy talk after this. And we're back. Mike, good second break?
Yeah, I guess suppose so. My favorite part of the show.
All right. I thought you like, is the second? No, the second break you don't like as
just
much.
Just the breaks in general. Okay. But yeah, no, you're right.
These are the breaks.
I think I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thought I was too young.
No, I you're culturally aware.
These are the breaks.
So, Ray Gunn, Olympian of the Year.
What?
You know who Ray Gunn is?
Ray, the breakdancer.
Sort of.
Right. Right.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. The Olympics are gone. I watched no punchdown of the week this week because I felt like taking on all of Trump's minions was enough of a response to punchdowns of the week.
You're punched out.
Yeah, I'm Mike Tyson's punch out. But I did watch a special this weekend. Langston Kerman's Bad Poetry on Netflix. And I looked at the guy and I said, I think he was on Insecure. Like when I was looking, I was like, I know I recognize him from somewhere, but I said, okay, let's watch the special. It was directed by John Mulaney. Hey, Langston, let's do a special. And so that at least gave it, obviously he's had some success. It's not like John Mulaney was not discovering Langston Kerman, but it's when a respected big time comedian gets behind the camera for you, it's a sign of at least maybe it's worth checking out. Sorry, Bo Burnham. You're probably my favorite comedian born in the last 40 years. I was born 45 years ago, Mike. But the direction of Jared Carmichael's specials is the best thing about Jared Carmichael's specials. So credit to Bo Burnham, but don't like the words that are spoken during those. I watched Langston Kerman's Bad Poetry. And if there's a critique, it's not so much a critique. I'm going to give you like my vibes during the special. It's like 50 minutes long. I'd say for 2/3 of it, it's really funny. And I like, and sometimes you get a guy who's a good actor. Mm-hmm. There were moments though where he fell into maybe a little bit of the Matt Rife thing where I'm like, are you a comedian or are you an actor being a comedian right now? And it's a subtle difference. Like the comedy sommelier that I am, I can tell when it's there. But for the most part, I liked it. When he was good, he was like great. And then there were like some lulls and some bits that I didn't like and that I thought. But like, I think it's a good way to pass the time. It's only 50 minutes. And the good is really good, is what I'd say about it. So yeah, not every special can be perfect. Half Blackface, by the way, speaking of perfect specials, is available on Amazon Prime for free if you're an Amazon Prime member, and on Tubi if you're broke and can't afford Amazon Prime. So check it out, everybody. But I liked it. I'm glad I watched it. So I think, you know, when it's good, it's great.
Yeah.
When it's not good, it's meh. But for the most part, it's real good. So that's it, everybody. I feel like a weight has been lifted, Mike. I appreciate you letting me do this.
I know. Yeah. It seems like you really needed to address this RFK impression issue. Not the RFK impression issue, but the, you know.
Well, it bothers me because I'm sort of tired of the last 4 years of getting all the heat of somebody successful and famous with none of the success or fame.
Yeah.
You know, somehow I went right to cancel this guy. Wait, but who am I? Am I a person yet? Am I a thing? No, pre-canceling you. We're giving you comedy plan B. We don't even want to have to go to Planned Parenthood. Just go to CVS. Take the JL's career is over pill and we'll be fine. But on that note, Mike, housekeeping, please, if you don't mind.
Housekeeping. Obviously, you guys, if you're listeners of the show, you should know by now, man, do I look bad looking into this camera right now.
Do you want to tell the people where your 35th birthday party is?
No, I don't. If you guys are watching on YouTube.
Sorry, pause. Go ahead. I had one question I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous person that will be at your party based on Trump impersonations?
Definitely you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or no question. Lil John, number one Democratic moment in history.
Yeah.
You can I enter the bar like that?
It's like a rowdy place. Okay. So yeah, feel free. It's not, we're not going to like Bevelman's bar or anything.
Instead
like
of Lil John, it's going to be Big Jean.
Yeah. Listeners, go, if you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment, helps boost the algorithm, which is the only thing that matters at this point. let's be honest. If you are watching on YouTube, you can also take the audio product with you, to work on your commute, on a run, whatever. We are an audio product, and obviously we would love to have you, listening to the show.
I feel
as
like
well.
This episode might be the first one that's kind of like, yeah, you could work out to this episode. JL had pretty good manic energy on this one.
Get you up to bench press. Obviously Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you can leave reviews. You can subscribe to the show, both of those places. And vice versa, if you're listening on audio, try the video. We have a beautiful new shot of JL. This should be pretty close to the final shot in the new studio. So, why not take a look and see what we're working with? And that's it.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this. I look forward, and I mean this genuinely, I look forward to the comments on this because I think, you know, sometimes we just say things and you can comment. This is more of a, I'd like to hear my fans' thoughts on this.